We're learning the 30th chapter of Tanya. And here, the Alter Rebbe is giving us the next strategy in dealing with what we called EDD, emotional deficit disorder. The person is not functioning, right? Yes, so it's called in Hebrew, Timtum Alev. He's like, he's totally sealed up. He's not responding. And he doesn't understand why the normative stimuli is not working for him. Chapter 30. So, the Alter Rebbe in the previous chapter told us that when a person has this issue, what's required is a crushing of one's own arrogance and one's own obsession of self. And then when that happens, when a person reaches a level of humility, so then the truth is able to shine forth and the neshama is released from its kind of incarceration. And then he's able to feel things again, and he's able to appreciate and understand and know and be stimulated by the things that usually would make a difference to a neshama. That's kind of just a very brief recap. Anybody who's joining us for the first time, I strongly recommend you watch the last couple of classes on Tanya. So now, the Alter Rebbe in Perek Lamed kind of went in a new direction. And he said, in addition to the sobering thought that no animals are capable of rebelling against God. The animals do exactly what Hashem wants them to do. But we, on the other hand, can be even lower than an animal. And because we can be lower than an animal, that can be a sobering thought. It is only we who can actually violate the will of Hashem. And Alter Rebbe expounded upon this and spoke about it in detail. And this was supposed to bring us to a state of humility. Here is the problem. If I am going to be humble, because even an animal doesn't do what the Eibush doesn't want him to do, so what do human beings tend to do? What's our first natural inclination? If you want to pick yourself up, what do? People intuitively put others down. It's an unfortunate thing, but it's a reality. Most people put other people down in order to feel better themselves. So they'll say, well, I'm better than everybody else. You know, there's that silly joke of the, well, it's not so silly.
You say worse than everybody else?
Well, let me just clarify what I'm saying. By means of a little joke, there was two people in the safari and a lion broke loose and the lion was chasing them. And these two guys are running for their life. And one says to the other, you think we can run faster than a lion? And the other one says, I just have to run faster than you. Right? And this is how most people go through life, just running faster than somebody else. I'm doing better than somebody else, so what do you want from me? You're complaining to me? You want to know why I'm not learning in davening? Do you know what my neighbors are doing? And that's how people make themselves feel better. This is human nature. Very, very few people do not intuitively look at others who are in a lower state than them spiritually to justify what they do. And when it comes to material wealth, and the fulfillment of self-gratification and libido, what do we intuitively do? We look at those who have more than us, and we kvetch about how little we have. In fact, the opposite should be the case. When it comes to materiality, we should look at those who have less than us and thank Hashem at the good fortune that we enjoy. And when it comes to spirituality, we should look at those who have more than us and we should be jealous in a holy way, in a good way, of their accomplishments and say, I wish I could accomplish the same. Why can't I do as well or better? But this is the way human beings function. We are provincial, as Rashba said, Ha'odam Humedini. A person is provincial in his nature, and therefore each and every one of us is always looking at others. So even if a person is to take the Alter Rebbe's words in chapter 29 to heart, and he says, you know, an animal doesn't go against Hashem. There's no bad Dobermans, no bad guard dogs. It's just a dog. A dog does what a dog does. The dogs are neither good nor bad. They're just dogs. Violent dogs are violent. Cute dogs are cute. They don't get credit for it. But humanity, now that's a challenge. We get credit for doing the right thing and are held accountable for doing the wrong thing. So then comes the question, if we get credit for doing the right thing and we're held accountable for doing the wrong thing, Is it hard to do the right thing? It has to be, obviously. That means there's necessarily going to be lusts and cravings and desires and all kinds of things like that that are unhealthy, that are ungodly, that are not appropriate. And as such, it turns out that you can be lower than an animal.
When a human behaves like an animal, he is like, according to God, he behaves like an animal, therefore not against God.
No, my friend. When a human being behaves like an animal, he is far, far worse than an animal.
How come he is behaving?
I'll tell you
like
how come.
Animal.
I'll tell you how come. Let me give you a little example. When a 6-month-old baby screams all night and wakes up his parents, doesn't let anybody in the house sleep, there's not something unexpected. It's not enjoyable, but it's not unexpected. When a 20-year-old child screams and yells and bangs on his parents' door and doesn't let them live, that is unacceptable. But they're both doing the same thing. I said, this is a child and that's a child. This child keeps you up all night, that child keeps you up all night. Because the 6-month-old baby doesn't know better. 6-month-old baby's just doing what babies do. The 20-year-old child is behaving in an extremely selfish manner. In a selfish manner at everybody else's expense. Well, a little child could be like an animal sometimes, especially a baby. That's what a baby does. Baby doesn't have like intuition and the ability to choose. That comes with maturity. So what does the baby do? It eats and poos and has gas, and you think he's smiling. And that's what he does. So when we talk about an animal, for an animal to be an animal is not a problem. For a person to be an animal is absolutely disgusting. Now, somebody could come along and say, so the bottom line is, animals are not capable of rebelling against Hashem, and I am. I have these cravings, these lust desires, these inappropriate thoughts. Animals don't. Yeah, that's true. So I'm even lower than an animal. Wow, that's humbling. That's sobering. And then my Yetzer comes along and says, you're lower than an animal? Maybe. But look at everybody else. They're twice as lower than the animal. They do all these sins. You don't even do it. You just have desires for it. You control yourself. You don't even allow yourself to ruminate on those things. They're doing it. So if they're doing it, how bad can I be? And anyway, who am I really compared with? Women are race with. Race with animals? I'm a race with people. As far as people are concerned, I'm far ahead. This is a big problem. This is a huge spoke in the wheels of the Alter Rebbe's strategy. So Pedig Lama continues. We said that the truth is that a person cannot judge somebody else when somebody else does something. Why can't he judge him? Because you have no idea what his circumstances are. And they end up in a place which makes them see all kinds of things. And ha'ayin roya v'halev chaymet, the eye sees, and then the heart lusts. And therefore, and they have a big yetzahara, a much bigger yetzahara than you. So don't compare yourself to them. You have no idea what kind of challenges they have. Now, here is the other problem. That's what we said last time. Embrace humility because you don't know what somebody else is going through. You don't know what their circumstances are. However, another part of human nature is that if I don't condemn sin, at some point I get comfortable with sin. So I see a person who's committing all kinds of terrible things. They're eating all the foods they shouldn't eat. They're working when they shouldn't work. They're engaging in illicit relationships with whom they shouldn't be having relationships. Doing everything wrong. You name it, they do it. And now what I say? Who am I to judge? It's not so bad. They have a big yetzahara. It's not their fault. They work in this licentious environment, and there's no food over there, kosher food. So they're eating the other stuff because it smells so good, because they're so hungry. And you know, they might lose the job if they don't work on Shabbos. So who am I to judge? Who am I? It's okay. So what happens then if I say it's okay? You know what happens? If I say it's okay, it becomes okay. It becomes okay. Then it's okay. I mean, it's okay for them, so is it so bad for me? This is another real problem. Alter Rebbe is covering all the bases here. So now he continues and he says, Vihine, in truth, BMS, Gam Mishu Mechumim Ba'id B'tivei, even a person who has an extraordinarily heated and passionate Yetzahara, and his evil inclination rages with desire. And not only the person, the individual, what they call in the language of Jewish jurisprudence alumnus, the gavra, the individual, has this craving, this burning desire and passion, and he's gripped with such an eagerness and a lust for sin, which you don't have, so you don't even know what he's going through because you don't have that problem. But furthermore, now, from the perspective of the reality he's dealing with, from what we call the cheftza, the parnasasai is lihiyes miyesh vekaranas kalayim. He has to sit in an vacuous and empty place, a place where sin is part of the fabric of that society. It's the way it is. So it's okay, right? It's okay if he sins. Alter Rebbe says, no, of course it's not okay. The truth is, ein lei shum hisnatzlos al chetov. the truth is he has absolutely no excuse for his sins and his misbehavior. His misdemeanors are considered to be inappropriate. Umikre rasha gomor. That person is called a totally wicked individual. Why now? Why is he called an individual? Why is he wicked? He's in a crazy place. There's so much sin around him. And he has such a yetzahara. And he's burning and raging with desire. What do you want from him? Says the Alter Rebbe, Asher al asher ein pachad l'kim l'neged einav. Do you not fear the Rabbeinu shel Olam? If the cameras were on and they were broadcasting what you're doing right now to 30 million viewers, how would you behave then? If you knew that there's a secret camera watching and then later it's going to be brought up in public, how would you feel about it then? Would you control yourself? Think about all these celebrities who were accused, some falsely, some truthfully. And then, of course, in a normal society, we don't judge in the court of public opinion. It goes to our court and we analyze the evidence to see it is true and it's not true. And some of the people did very bad things. And had the cameras been on them and had they known that someday they'd have to answer this, would they still do it? Would Bill Clinton still do what he did if he knew there was a camera sitting in the Oval Office recording every single moment of it? Of course he wouldn't do it. Why not? Why? Because he's afraid of a camera? He's afraid of people? This is the famous words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai on his deathbed. His Talmidim said, Rebbe, tell us something. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you should fear God as much as you fear people. And they go, Rabbi Yochanan, you should fear God like we fear people. Oh, he said, Rabbi Yochanan, halavai, if only it were so. If only it were so. If only we would realize, like when somebody's watching, people are watching, behave differently. You're on a stage. There's people watching you. You're not comfortable. You're inhibited. Every little thing is watched because you're being seen. Yeah. So in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Almighty God is looking at you at all kind, at all times. So if God is looking at you at every single moment, pachad alekim l'neged einav, then you have to have a sense of awe, a sense of reverence. God's looking at you. People, who cares about people? God is looking at you, the King of all kings. It's recorded for posterity, for eternity. So yeah, you had a desire. You were gripped with a lust and a craving, but so what? If people were looking, what would you do? If the camera's rolling, what would you do? You'd control yourself. Ha! Then Allah has kama v'kama when you're talking about the situation where a person has to be mindful that God is always looking. There is an incredible Gemara. It's in Maseches Pesachim, page 113, side B. It tells a story about two sages. The names were Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshia. And this Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshia, they were shoemakers or shoe salespeople. And the shoes they had to sell was in, and I quote from the Gemara, a shuk shel zaynis. It was in a marketplace that was frequented by women who made a living with the oldest profession. That's where they had to make a living. They were selling them shoes. They need shoes too, no? They have to walk barefoot. So the Gemara says, inu mistakli buhu, they looked at them. The zaynis, the prostitutes, looked at them, and these rabbis didn't raise their eyes for one moment to look back. In other words, they were looked at, but it was not a two-way conversation. They were there for business, strictly. They needed shoes, we're here to provide you with shoes. That's it. They didn't allow anything to happen, chas v'shalom. Didn't allow any kind of desire, any kind of bad thoughts. Why? Because they had pachad alikim l'neged einam. Because these were serious Jews who knew that they had a responsibility to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That comes before everything else. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter how people looked at them. It didn't matter. These were the loosest of people. People who, like, for a pair of shoes, they would do anything. And they never looked at them. Is it easy? No, it's very hard. It goes against human nature. Okay, so what? Human nature is meant to be conquered. So this person who says, I have a big Yetzirah, you know where I find myself? We say to them, what is worse than a Bichanin and a Beishia situation? Look what the situation they were in. Did they give in? You should have controlled yourself, restrained yourself. You should have controlled the lusts and the cravings and the passions that burned in your heart. Why? Because of the awe of Hashem who sees everything that you do. It's a new thing today in the 21st century. People have lusts and desires, so therefore it must be okay. Who says? Oh, how could God give me a lust and desire if I cannot fulfill it? God gives all kinds of lusts and desires not supposed to fulfill. How could it be done? It can be done. It's easy? No, it's not easy. But it doesn't mean it's okay. And now, The Alter Rebbe says, but come on, isn't the lust and desires more powerful than some mystical spiritual idea? Because pachad lekim lenegedeinav that I can't see? Says the Alter Rebbe, actually not. Because as much as it's human nature to sin and to follow the path of folly, it is also human nature to control yourself. And the Alter Rebbe says, we talked about this earlier in Tanya, where it says that each and every single man commishes bor leil, that's explained earlier, ki hamoyach shalit al halev bitul dosei. The mind is capable of controlling the heart by its very nature. That's the reality. That's the way we were created. We can control ourselves. So, for example, when a person has to take medicine, which is very bitter, nobody likes eating or drinking bitter things, but the person knows if they don't take this medication, they're going to be in bad shape. What do? They take the medication. And what happens when they come along and say, I give you a shot? The child screams and yells, you have to hold him down. You don't have to hold down the adult. The adult says, I know, it's going to be painful. What am I going to do? Got to do what I got to do. Why? Because hamoyach shalta halev. Because the mind can and actually does control the heart all kinds of times. Person said, I blew up, I was too angry. You're too angry. If you knew that you'll lose your job, you will keep your mouth shut. That guy insulted me. I had to insult him back. I was burning mad. Yeah, because you didn't have pachad likim lenegadenev. It was pachad haboss lenegadenev. If you're thinking the boss is going to fire me and I'll be homeless and penniless and I won't be able to provide...